My name is Adam Koop. I'm one of the teaching pastors here. So this week, we pick up. Jesus is in the temple. And Jesus is teaching again. And Jesus is angering people again. Does Jesus ever anger you? A bunch of liars. Yes, he does. Sometimes what Jesus says doesn't jive with what I say, and that's when Jesus and I start to butt heads. That's when Jesus and I start to do battle. That's when Jesus tries to disarm me of my stones, and I'm like, no, I like these. This one's really round. I was saving it for skipping. But Jesus is doing what he does best, and he's delivering a message from his Father, which is God. And these people continue to ask this question of who are you? Every time you see Jesus do some big miracle, every time you see Jesus do something miraculous, like give grace to a woman who is dragged out of her bed, probably had disheveled sex hair. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't play stupid. Had disheveled sex hair, and they bring him to Jesus, and they're wanting justification, and Jesus says, no. Have any of you sinned? Oh, yeah. Okay, go for it then. If you haven't sinned, throw a stone. And after this discourse, after we see this story happen, then these people are still questioning then who Jesus is, but they're kind of upset because of the way Jesus handles himself and the way he talks about things that are counter to what their system of judgment, their system of law, their system of everything is. So I was talking with Craig Johnson over lunch. We eat lunch occasionally. Every day. Not together, but I do eat lunch every day. No one cares. Bad joke? I'm not a funny man. Or did you say food? Okay, yeah. You're my best friend. So we pick up in this story, and we're in John chapter 8, verses 12 through 59. You guys have a Bible? If you don't have a Bible and you'd like a Bible, we'd love to give you a Bible. We have copies of the Bibles out by the coffee. If you need one, please go grab one. Don't leave here without one if you need one. If you have a phone, cell phone, please download a Bible app. YouVersion's a great one, and I can never remember the other one. It doesn't matter. You'll find them. Bible apps, they're great. All right? So if you need a Bible, we want to give you one. Well, I want you to follow along with me, and I hope you guys are reading this outside of Sunday morning. If this is the Bible you get, and it's just this brief 30 minutes, you're starving yourself to death. Okay? Okay, here we go. It says this. And Craig and I started talking about lunch and got excited. Craig and I, we had lunch. And I sat and I read through this chapter over and over and over and over. And I thought to myself, what do I have to say that Jesus hasn't already said in this? What can my words possibly lend to what Jesus has already said? And it's tough because I'm supposed to just, you know, teach on top of what Jesus taught because he didn't do a good enough job. But we read the Bible and we read this as some of us read it as fiction. Some of us read it as good stories. Some of us read it as, you know, the authoritative word of God. Some of us read it as ammunition for stones that we can throw. We try not to. But this word, we read and we read and we read and we read these words of Jesus, and all I see in this is more grace and more of who Jesus is as he talks to these people. And he talks to these people very harshly because these people are so guarded with religious stuff. They've been so ingrained with so much of the wrong stuff, but yet they still claim to know Jesus. Some of them claim to believe Jesus. There's some that are outliers that are just around, and they see these miraculous things happen in what Jesus does, and they start to move in closer. What did he say? Did he just say that? I'm interested. And so as these people move in closer, Jesus really starts putting the thumb right on the wound of where they're at. And you start to see people get angry. And as I read this, I think, well, that was then. This doesn't happen today. Jesus would never put his finger on my wound and call me out and ask me to change, ask me to be somebody who I'm not being, ask me to be more like him. And that's exactly what's happening in this story. So as you read words like religious leaders or the Jews or the people, as we go through this morning, I really want you to think that Jesus is just talking directly to you through this. As I started to do that, it became very real for me. And Jesus started teaching me through this. Jesus started pressing in. Jesus, you're not just talking to these people in this far-off land. What you're doing is you're calling these people to know you better, and that message is very true this morning. That message is very true 2,000 years later, and that's what I want us to understand as we read through this. Deal? Okay. I'm going to try to not teach over Jesus. That means we're going to go for probably 45 minutes. Every time I say, I'm not going to do it, I do it. Let's talk more rock. Ready? Verse 12. All right. When Jesus spoke again to the people, this is after the exchange with the adulterous woman. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The Pharisees, also known as us, we challenged him. Here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not even valid. And Jesus answered, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true because I am not alone. I stand with the Father, God, who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father, God, who sent me. Then we asked him, where is your Father? Jesus replies, you do not know me or my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. Once more, Jesus said to us, I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. You can get that. Where I go, you cannot come. But he continued, you are from below, and I am from above. You are of this world, and I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am he. You will indeed die in your sins. Who are you? We asked. Jesus, rather exasperated, I'm sure at this point, says, just what I've been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say in judgment of you. I got a whole list of things. But he who sent me, God, is trustworthy, and I have heard from him. And what I have heard from him, I tell the world. We did not understand that he was telling us about his Father, God. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. That I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father, God, has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Even as he spoke, many believed in him. To us who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We answered him, we are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been slaves of anyone. We live in America. We've never been slaves to anyone. Not that there have not been slaves in the past. How can you say that we will be set free? Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son and daughter belongs to it forever. So if the Son, he's speaking about himself, Jesus, sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you're looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I've seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father. Abraham is our father, we answered. If you were Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did no such things. You were doing the works of your own father. We replied, we are not illegitimate children. The only father we have is God himself. Jesus said to us, if God were your father, you would love me. For I have come here from God, and I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native tongue. For he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling you the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. We answered him, aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed? I'm not demon-possessed, said Jesus. But I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I'm not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Very truly I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death. At this we exclaimed, now we know you're demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets, yet you say that whoever obeys your word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? Jesus replied, If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, you claim is your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. Ooh. But I do know him and obey his word. And Father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. You were not 50 years old, we said, and you have not seen Abraham. Very truly, I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. At this point, we picked up our stones to stone him. But Jesus himself, slipping away from the temple grounds, hid himself slipping away from the temple grounds. Does it change your story a little bit when you add yourself into it? No, because we live in a civilized society today in America that's free of anger. that's free of people revolting against information. If Jesus would come here in our time today and say the things that he said, which he does, and he is, through his word, and addressed a group of us sitting outside, so say he came to speak at the university. And said the things that he said here. See, I put myself in the story and I think to myself, you know, I would never stone anybody. I would never be so irate to the point of getting that angry. Oh, I'm not so sure that's true. Jesus is telling this people, this group of people who think they know better, that they don't know anything. Jesus is telling this people who live on this morality of Scripture, of teachings of old from their ancestors, who think they have a corner in the market on who God is and what God is and how you should respond to God, that they know nothing about God because their lives are not reflecting God as they're rejecting the very person of Jesus who had been talked about through prophecies, through all their people. Their heavy hitters like Abraham, their father, was a major player in the game. And they would know him very well. And he's saying, you know what, your father, this is what he worked for. This is what Abraham worked for all this time. And you aren't seeing that. Abraham would be ecstatic if he saw the fulfillment of prophecy of me being here. And so we interject ourselves into this story. We talk about this story and the things that Jesus says. I am the light of the world, and I don't judge anyone. Jesus actually contrasts our inability to judge with his own ability. We judge by human standards, he says, but he passes judgment on no one. He doesn't pass judgment like we do. That is, according to mere appearances and according to human standards. Instead, he passes judgment in keeping with reality. What Jesus says is reality. Because he does so in oneness with God, he judges simply by revealing the truth and pointing out one's distance from it. God speaks the truth, and we realize how far away we are from it. And instead of leaning in, we get upset. Instead of leaning in, we say, okay, well, maybe he answered this question, but what other questions does he have that I'm able to, you know, move closer to him? And we just put question and question and question and question in front of him. Instead of leaning in and hearing, God is saying, you are so far from where I am. You were so far from the truth. You were so far from grace, so far from mercy, so far from living a life that reflects me. And as I put my name, as I put us in this story, I begin to see that, you know what, God, I think you're right. And this isn't, my earring is jingling on my microphone. That's weird. And this isn't one man who's got it figured out standing on stage telling you you're all jacked up. This is a jacked up man talking to a jacked up people who need Jesus, just like I need Jesus. And Jesus is speaking to me just as he's speaking to you, saying, "You, let me present truth and look at where you are. Look at the distance where you are from this truth." And our entire goal here at Whitewater is what? Moving two steps closer to Jesus. I was talking to a friend this week for lunch, and he said that he and his brother made a New Year's resolution, I'm not really sure. But they want to be, what was it, 13, 15 times more better or more closer to Jesus this year. I was like, 15 times more closer. I didn't even mean. And I said, oh, because two isn't enough. I get it. But that's our whole goal, is moving us towards this truth, moving us towards this and pointing towards this truth and saying, look, we are far away from it, but we're going to make it. We're going to be there. Sin that God is talking about is these people sin. Sin is separation from God and therefore a state of death. Since God is the source of all life, as we know, as he's created things, Jesus said that we are in our sins. And what does that mean? It means we're alienated from God. There is no neutral territory for us. Do you know that? A couple weeks ago, we taught, maybe a month ago, and it was, you know, you have to make a choice. There is no middle ground. There's no neutral ground as to the sin issue or this God issue. It is very much you need to make a choice about who God is. And that's what Jesus is saying to these people, to us today, is you have to make this choice. You have to see this gap, this chasm of where truth is at and where you are at in relation to it, and you have to move into that. And instead of leaning in, we get angry. Instead of leaning in, we pick up our stones and we look for Jesus. Because we don't like what we hear. Whether you know Jesus or not today, you probably don't like what you hear, that you're a sinner. And if you know Jesus and I call you a sinner, you probably don't like that even more. Right? Mm-hmm. But this truth that he presents, there's no neutral ground that we can stand on. It's either in or out. Now, we understand as we read the story that they or us, we reject Jesus because of our inner disposition. We never really knew God, even though we think we do. We never really understood him. We have a hard time hearing God because we actually really never knew him in the first place. We might know his teachings, we might know his writings, we might know his rules that we try to follow, but we never really understood it. And so we live this weird balancing act, this tightrope walk with Jesus. And Jesus confronts that. He wants us to go deeper. Our problem is everybody go to a doctor at least once in their life. If you haven't, you're a very fortunate person. Well, we go to a doctor when things are wrong, and especially if we don't know what's wrong, you know, obvious things like broken limbs when your elbow's pointing this way. I broke my toe once, and it was like this off of my body. And I called my mother, and I said, Mom, I broke my toe. She said, how do you know that? I was doing a right angle right off my foot. That's not normally where it's at. But we go to the doctor, and we want to know what's wrong, and the doctor goes in, and we wait, and we hear. And the doctor tells us what's going on. The doctor says, well, I got some good news, or I got some bad news, or I got some indifferent news. And we pay for this kind of advice. We pay for this service. And that's what Jesus is doing with our condition here in this story. Jesus is the ultimate heart doctor, right? I'm not talking about physical. He can do that too. I'm talking about spirit. I'm talking about who we are at the core of ourselves. And Jesus goes in and he says, this is my diagnosis of who you are. And here is what you need to do. This is what I prescribe. And most of us who are good patients will do what the doctor's asking of us, right? I said good patients. Most of us who are good patients will do what the doctor's prescribing, and we'll listen, and we'll say, you know, if I do this, I'm going to get better. If I do this, I'm going to be where I need to be. If I do this, I'm going to beat this thing, right? And Jesus is doing the exact same thing with us in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls, as he presses in on these things and says, look, you have no idea who I am. And some of you think you have a good idea who I am, and you don't. But those who know me, those who actually know God, know me, those who actually are doing the will of my Father are going to know me better, right? Isn't that what we talked about a few weeks ago? And he repeats himself even in here, saying the exact same thing. If you know me and you're doing these things, you're going to know me better. And you're going to see this truth confirmed about who I am in this life that you're living in. And so today, I got nothing other than to say, follow the doctor's orders. Be good patients. As Jesus presses in on us through these stories, as Jesus presses in on us through these other people that we read about, it's not just a story, it's not just a myth, it's not just this far-off thing. It is a people who hurt like we hurt. It is a people who think that they have it all together like we do. It is a people who think that we can make it on our own steam without Jesus. And as God presents the truth and we see this how far we are from it, we shouldn't pick up stones. That's just going to weigh us down as we're trying to move two steps closer. What we should do is just walk into what God's asking us to be. Is it making sense? I feel like I'm all over the board today. And I probably am. But the story of Jesus, when Jesus speaks, listen. I wasted a lot of time not. God, I feel like I'm all over the place today, and that's probably for good reason. But you love us, and it's apparent as you have these stories of just what we talked about last week as Larry brought the adulterous woman who had just met with grace. God, as you bring these people in who think they know who you are, who are religious, who are people that think they have a corner on you, God, and then when you show them how far away they are from your truth, God, they get angry, they get mad, they get upset. God, I think we're filled with a bunch of those people this morning. I know we are. I'm one of them. God, as we want our answers from you, as we want our who you are answered from you, God, you've answered that question time and time again as these people ask and continue that. Well, who are you? Who do you think you are? I'm God. If you want to know me, put your faith in me. If you want to know me fully, do the things that I've asked you to do. And you will see my word confirmed in you. That's who I am. God, we want to be attentive to that. We want to listen to that. We want to hear you. We don't want to miss what you're saying and pick up stones. We don't want to miss what you're saying and dupe ourselves to believe in that we can live in this neutral territory with you. God, take us to where you want us. Individually, corporately. God, deepen our faith. Deepen our commitment. Deepen our obedience. God, for those of us that have not made the jump, the leap, to follow you with everything that we have. God, for those of us that have played the game for all these years, thinking that we are, And yet we're no better than these Pharisees and these Jewish people. God, shake our world up. God, may we be good patients as we look to you, the doctor, to find out what we need to do. What do we need to do, God? You spell it out so clearly. God, may we be people of obedience. May we be good patients. We love you. It's your name we pray. And everybody said, amen.